Good evening.
So how are you? How is
I'm doing well. I'm actually in the Washington, D.C. area.
Oh,
like
wow.
Maryland. Yes.
Oh, in the Maryland. Okay.
Yeah. But we're all on the same Eastern time.
Okay. So how is Maryland? How is Washington since Joe Biden became president?
It's great. It's great. We go on our regular day to day here.
Okay. Oh, I'm so happy to have you online today. You know, I've been looking to speak to you because I know you're from Liberia and you've done so many things. I remember when you were doing the Liberia fashion show. And you've done quite a lot of things to put Liberia on the map, especially in America. So how are things going for you at the moment?
Well, things are going well. Obviously, you know, we're getting back. You know, the country is starting to open back up. So slowly but surely, things are coming back to normal. You know, but we're here just kind of monitoring things and taking everything, you know, a little at the time, you know, not putting too much, but putting a little at the time. Events are starting to happen again. So,
okay. Because, you know, the reason I called you on this podcast, it's I'm not just an African woman. It's a podcast for Africa, especially for African women in the diaspora and also in Africa, you know, to let other African women know about your experience, what you've been through and how much you have achieved. Because when they see a successful African woman, people tend to think, oh, it was easy, but they don't actually talk about the nitty gritty, you know, the effort that, you know, they've made to arrive or to achieve the success that they have. So that's why I wanted you to tell us about your experience in America, what motivated you to really work hard and be an ambassador for Africa in the United States, because, you know, whatever you are doing, you are like an envoy from Liberia, because thanks to you, we know more about Liberia, because Liberia was seen more like a country where there's war, insecurity, but with you, you've always shown another face of Liberia.
Yes. You know, it, like you said, it's not easy. And if it was easy, everybody will be doing it, you know, so, you know, the struggle is real, but, mm-hmm. you know, you look at, you know, for me, my mom and, women of that era that my mom was in the 80s and, the 90s, the 80s, basically. You know, those women of substance from Liberia were always all my mentors, you know. So from my aunts and my mother that was an educator and former head of WAEC. WAEC is the West African Examination Council that gave, you know, exams, the national exam, the GCE, the O levels. They administered that exam, you know, and she used to be a school teacher, worked for the Ministry of Education, you know. So for me, I saw those powerful women growing up, and I would always go with her to the different women meetings that she went to, and I would sit in the corner and just sit back and
watch and
listen to all these powerful women. And my mom was the first female head of office of WAEC in the history of WAEC. So she was there with all the men from, because WAEC have offices in the all the English speaking West African countries. So Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Ghana, Senegal. So they're in all the English speaking countries, and all the heads of office in that era were all men. And she was the only female. So she was a trailblazer before all the female thing, you know, became, you know, what it is now. And she did it so effortlessly. So for me, that has always been, you know, my role model. And I had, you know, aunts that were also professors and that were doctors. And you know, so for me, I emulated, you know, all of those powerful women that I saw growing up. as my role models. So yeah. I take from each of them.
Wow. Because what is your mom's name?
Grace Morris was her name.
Oh, Grace Morris. So she's no more?
No, she's no more. She's no more. But I say, you know, sometimes I talk about her in the present tense because I feel that she's still here.
We were talking about her like she's still alive, which is
exactly. So
she left a big impression.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then not just on me, but on the entire Liberia. Because everybody, and you know, before the war, that was a student in Liberia knew who Grace Morris was. Because they used to call her Mommy Pepper.
Oh, wow.
She was a no-nonsense, you know, kind of person. And I tell people were like, you know, when we had to sit for the exams, and we usually sat when we were in the ninth grade. And I don't know what it, you know, in the British, what grade it, but when we took it in the ninth grade and in the 12th grade. And I remember my ninth grade year, everybody wanted to be friends with me because they just thought, oh, her mom is going to give her the exam. And and one of the things that she said, this is what I can do for you, young lady. I can get a tutor that can tutor you to help you to be successful in the exams. And they had just implemented that year that if you fail one subject in the exam, you will repeat the class.
Oh,
and
wow.
And she said, but if you fail, you will repeat. So it was a lot of pressure put on me because here I am, my mom is this head of office, and I'm you know, she's given me all the tools that I need to be successful. So it was up to me to make sure that I was studious, and I you know, because before we used to go straight home from school, you know, we'll stop by her office and then the driver, you know, will take us home. And you know, back then, you know, we'll just do what we wanted to do. You know, when we get home, we had older people in the house, and you know, we'll get away with murder, literally, because she wasn't home. But when it was time for that, she said, you come to my office, you sit in the conference room, and the tutor will be here to tutor you.
Wow. So, because you know. It's so strange that we're talking about it, because an incident happened to my son 2 weeks ago. A little person in his school, one of the students, you know, they hacked the head teacher's computer, and they got the exams, you know, the subject. And you see, and my son, you know, he's young, and he didn't believe, you know, like children say, no, you did what? I don't believe you, he said. Yeah. And then the friend said, okay, give me your email, I'll prove to you. And my son said, no, you can't. Nobody can get the exams. And then they send it to his email. He deleted it, but they all got zero, just to show you that your mom, she already had high standard, you know, like people were befriending you because they had an interest, thinking your mom was going to make things easy for you. And actually your mom gave you a good lesson in life, like you can achieve whatever you want if you put hard work in it. And and my son, he's very good. I mean, he always get 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10. So he didn't even need it, because he didn't even check those exams. But because... Mm-hmm. It was put in his email, so they all got zero. And I asked him, I said, oh, but what is the lesson in life? He said, oh, mom, I'm telling you, I won't even be saying to somebody I don't believe you, because they all got zero.
Right.
Because of the person that, you know, hacked into the computer, and the young lady was selling it to people. And it's just...
Oh, wow.
So can you imagine if it had happened at your mom's time, you know, because the kids were not as advanced as they are now.
Yes.
You know, hacking computers.
Yeah. So what, you know,
do you
those
think
are
your mom would have said to those kids.
Oh my gosh. You know, I said, you know, it was and just another quick story. So that year that I took the ninth grade, that particular year, the president of Liberia that year, his brother was a senior and also had sat for the exams his senior year. And that was Samuel Dole. And yeah, it was Samuel this big thing. Yes, so they were saying that, you know, people won't, if you fail a subject, you wouldn't march. You could not march. Just like you would repeat if you were in the ninth grade. Yeah. And his brother had sat for the exam and he failed the subject.
Wow.
So I remembered the military, the soldiers, they came to the house and they came to get my mother. And they said, the president wants to see you.
But she never made him fail. He failed by himself.
But listen, and this is the more, there's a moral to the story. And she said, well, my daughter has to go with me and I'll grab all of my, because she would have the big binders of all the results of everybody in the country. And she would bring, you know, she would have those home. So she had it and, you know, she had the big binder that she grabbed, and she said, my daughter has to go with me, and escorted with armed military guys. We got escorted to the mansion. And I'm sitting there terrified as a child. And so he got in, and the president, you know, Mrs. Morris, you know, we just want to ask you, you know, some questions. And she said, okay. And he said, you know, this whole new thing about the exam, and my brother, you know, took the exam and he failed, and you know, so what can we do? And she said to him, she said, Mr. President, he said, you see my daughter right there? She's set for the exams person. And he said, do you know what I told her? I told her I got someone to help her because she's not, you know, I'm not definitely good in math. So she knew that was my weak, you know, and she was a mathematician. But obviously she couldn't teach me because of busy schedule. So that's why she had somebody to, you know, enforce some of those basic math skills. And she said, but I told her, if she fails, she will repeat. You know, so Mr. President, what are we saying here to the young people of this country? That we should bend the rules because, and he said, you know, he said, maybe he should have studied harder. And he said, you know what, Mrs. Morris? That's the best thing you said. That man should have really studied hard. Right? Yeah. So if the man failed, let him fail and he will not march. Right? But we walked out of there with him laughing and showing respect to her and all of that. He said, you know, Ms. Morris, you know, in Liberia, they call people Oma. And that's like, you know, if you're older. Oma, you correct. The man, I'm foolish man. You know, in his Liberian thing that he should have studied. Right now. You know, wow. So, you know, it was a moral to the story there that even with all of that, she was very strict and to the books when it came to things education. Of principle. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, so she was a very principled lady.
Absolutely. 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 You know, and I would tell her all the time, well, mommy, I want this. And, you know, that other person, you know, they have it. And she's like, just because they have it, that doesn't mean we need to have it. The only thing that I have is the paycheck that the government of Liberia gives me. I use no more than what they gave me. So what you have, you need to be content with. Wow. You know, so those are the core values, you know, that I try to live by every day.
So with like substance like this, they're very few in Africa now, because now it's grab what you can and walk all over people, because we used to have very principled people.
Right. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and it's how's Liberia now? Is it, do you still have this kind of moral?
You know, everything evolves, right? There's an evolution for everything. And, you know, unfortunately, because we've been through the war, the mindset of the people have changed. And everybody is kind of on this hustle mentality. Is get what you can get, like you said, you know, so those, you know, values of, you know, loyalty and you know, things like that have been
sincerity.
Yes, has been thrown out the door, and everybody is looking how can I hustle somebody or what can I get out of somebody at this time versus building lasting relationships that can test, stand the test of time, that you and somebody can meet at once. And if you respect each other and, honesty is there, that friendship can go a long way.
Because he used to be like this. I remember even when we used to go to school, when we went to top school and everything, being in a good school, parents made friends through their children.
Absolutely. 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 Absolutely.
So that's how we grew up. And that's why I know quite a lot of people in the world. I mean, they've become like world leaders and things like this because we knew them from the circle. But now, in Africa, they're not enforcing this anymore because it's now, you go to Liberia, you don't know anyone, but we never grew up like this.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The times have changed, and hopefully we can get back to that where we just genuinely, care about each other's well-being in Africa, just sincerity. Because that took us a long way before, and it's unfortunate that going this way that is going, we don't know what the future holds for Africa, but we pray that, some of those values can come back in. And
because he was, like, for example, when I look at your life and, what you've done in America, and the people you've helped, and the betrayal, the hurt, the lies, it's just as if people have lost, they've lost values, they've lost humanity, it's incredible. And sometimes how do you feel, for example, because I know you help quite a lot of people and you're kind of a beacon for Liberians, even in America and, in Liberia. How do you feel when you've helped somebody and, they repay you with ungrateful, how do you...
You see, I tell people, I say I wear my feelings sometimes on my sleeve because I'm genuine when I'm going in with somebody because I'm hoping that they will they have the same mindset that I have, general concern. How can I help? What can I do? And let's build a lasting friendship or relationship. Because that, even we might not talk every day, but I want to say, hey, you know what? I know this person, I can pick up the phone and call you because we've worked together in the past, and we can do, but it for me, it hurts me more than, it hurts. It really, really hurts. I'll give you like tonight, I have a young man that's been reaching out to me for the last 3 days.
Yeah.
And I saw his message and he said, he's been fighting to open a modeling agency and, he just needs my help and what can I do to, he's looking for a sponsor and this and that. And I listened to him because for me, one of the things that I never like to do is, and this is all some of the values that my mom instilled in me, I never like to overlook anybody. Because I said the only difference that the only thing that separates us is that opportunity. I had the opportunity to come to America. Maybe you didn't have the opportunity to come to America. I had the opportunity because my mom was who she is. You didn't, ask to be born to the parent, that you're born to, that those kinds of things, right? So I never like to overlook anybody. I always like to listen. And I listened to him and I heard him. And he said, no, I'm different. And I said, do you know how many times I've heard that I'm different? I'm not the same. I said, and it's happened so much and I've been hurt so much that now it's like, I feel as, you're preaching to the choir now because I've heard it. And I said, and everybody, they come so humble.
Yeah, they do. And once you help them, they start, you know, to show their true colors. And
exactly. And exactly.
You become even like, you know, because people, the when enemy. They want help,
you they become come the very enemy.
Humbly, like you said. And then after that, you become a nuisance to them. And it's just not a very good way to live. But then, you know, with the universe, you know, they get their upcoming always.
You become an enemy. You literally become an enemy. And it's such a growing trend in Liberia. I mean, because you've been there and you follow me for many years.
Yeah.
And you see, you know, what I've done and some of the things that I do. And it was disheartening for me when I decided, I was like, okay, I hadn't been back to Liberia in 20 something years when I went back. I was like, okay, finally, I'm going to go. All these people that are, how you call it, at least this thing is going to be packed, you know. They're going to all put their hands around. And that didn't happen. You know, but then you see the same people that come and say, oh, well, we're not united. We don't like to help each other. And just this, you know, a couple of mornings ago, there was a guy that posted. And he was saying how people don't support and people don't help and we need to. And then I recalled that he was one of the first people that I helped.
Yeah.
When he was doing his event, I got him sponsors. I called him and gave my services. Let me promote your event. And I promoted it without asking for a dime because, you know, that's who I am. And eventually he stopped speaking to me. Nothing happened. He just stopped talking. But like he has an artist. The artist came out with a video. Granted, he had done what he did, but I was like, I'm going to promote the artist's music video again because of who I am. But when I went to Liberia, I saw him, and I'm older than him, but I said, you know what? I'll walk up to him and I'll speak to him because he probably doesn't know me, but see me on the internet. So I'll go and speak to him. He was kind of proud, but I was like, okay, well, I've done my part, right? He saw somebody else that literally they did an event, and he knows I'm into fashion. They literally tried to sabotage what I was doing and did it the same weekend that I was doing what I was doing.
Wow.
And so I went under his post. I was like, you know, it starts with you. I said before, look yourself in the mirror and you want to understand why, even with all the money that you have, you're not being successful. I said, have you asked yourself that question? I said, remember when you did this, you know, this event? And did that? I said, when I came to Liberia, I didn't even have to call you. And you're on my page. We're friends. And you see everything that I do. And you heard that I was in the country. I shouldn't have even come to you to ask you to come to the event. You should have been one of the first people pushing and promoting what I was doing.
Exactly.
I said, but it starts with you. You have to dig deep within yourself and ask, why are you? I said, because the circle, it goes around. What goes around comes around. When you do it to somebody, you might be successful
now. All the time, but not all the time.
Exactly. That success is never going to last because it's always going to come back. I said, so, you know, and I made the comment under his post, and one of his people that works with him, because they own a TV and a radio station, the guy was like, oh, take it down. And I said, no, because I stand firm on what I said. And you know, sometimes in our country, we like to sweep things under the rug too much.
Yeah, under the rug, under the carpet, yeah.
Yes, forgive. Oh, no, I said, I'm not going to. I'm going to leave it right there so he understands the mistakes and things that he has done and how he's hurt people. You know,
so what does that person do now? The person in Liberia now? Is the person in Liberia?
Yes, he is. He is. I mean, and he came under the post and he said he apologized and, you know, and I said, hey, you know what? I've said my piece, but for me, I'm the kind of person that I'm not going to laugh in your face and know that you've hurt me and I don't tell you.
Yeah, because a lot of people live on pretense.
Yes, I will tell you, and then we can move on. You can decide that you don't want to talk. That's fine. But at least I've let it off my chest. I said, that's how I operate, and that's how I live my life. And that's why, you know, people don't understand why doors continue to open for me. And I said, it's not even about money. It's not about that, but because of the heart and the values that I have, that's what those things start to open. And that's how our people lived their lives back, you know, back then, because they were given, they were a community. Yeah. They supported each other. So they all became successful together, and they, you know, they cared about each other.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
It wasn't about what I can get. And
yes.
Now the mentality is for you to make it, you have to drown someone else. But it never used to be like that.
Right, right.
It never used to be like that. It's like, and also that's why, because I know you're doing another event in Liberia, tourism. You had a project to bring people for tourism in Liberia. How does that look like? Is it still gonna happen?
You know, what I say is that we're monitoring the situation right now, you know, and we'll see how it goes. We'll just keep it, you know. For me, my mom said, if you can't say nothing nice, don't speak or don't say. So we will monitor and see what happens.
Hopefully it happens very quick, because with the pandemic, people are trying to go out and really travel and
absolutely
settle down.
Absolutely.
And, you know, because it's not easy. Even in America, I don't know how people are taking the pandemic there, but in the UK, it hasn't been easy with all this lockdown.
I know you guys have been locked down, but here, you know, we've been, because I think I only stopped working for about 2 weeks and I was back to work. So, you know, things are starting to open up, you know, hopefully, you know, with some of the relief that the government gave people, some people were able to cope and stay afloat, you know.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah.
When are you doing the next fashion show then?
Well, it's supposed to be December. December, we're supposed to be doing the show in Liberia in December. The 16th through the 25th. No, sorry, the 22nd through the 25th. I'm sorry. December 22nd through the 25th is when we're supposed to be doing it.
Well, bring the leaflet out, you know. So I will distribute. If I can, I can come around, because I think you're going to have a plane to take people there.
Yes, we're working on it. But like I said, you know, they talk about, you know, coronavirus, you know, how you call it with libraries. So right now we're just monitoring things. So we kind of slow down a little bit on our promotions. You know, we're just kind of monitoring to see where the country is and all of that kind of stuff and how we're open up. So that's kind of where we are right now.
So are you still doing the beauty pageant and stuff like that?
God, I haven't done beauty pageants in a while. I haven't done beauty pageants in a while, but you know, I call myself a true multinational African, because for me, it's not only about Liberia, but it's about impacting the whole of Africa. You know, so, you know, I work, you know, with Runway Ghana. Is one of my franchise events, a partner events under the Runway International shows. So I have a partner, Akwesia Babio, who runs Runway Ghana. We have, you know, Runway Nigeria, and we're working on, you know, Runway Sierra Leone.
There's Runway Zambia. I don't know, but there's a lady from Zambia. She's done the Runway, I think, Zambia.
Okay, I haven't seen that, but it's Runway Ghana International, Runway Liberia International. It's under Runway International shows.
And so, the goal is who owns Runway International then?
I do.
Oh yeah, so it was yours, because I've seen, you know, I used to watch it, because you know the guy that was in Real Housewife of Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was in one of the Runway event somewhere. I saw him.
Okay.
You know the black guy in Atlanta. Yeah, he was in one of the runaway events.
Okay, okay. No, no, no. It wasn't my show. It wasn't my show. But the goal of Runway International shows is to be able to give opportunities to, you know, you might have a young person in a country and say, you know what, I've always wanted to put together a show, but I might not know where to start. You know, we want to create this kind of business in a box model that we can give them all the tools and support them in what they need to do for them to be able to do a show like this in their country and make a name for themselves and be able to make an impact.
Okay. Wow, that's good. Because I haven't seen somebody doing it here in the UK. Would you be thinking of doing something here?
I would love to. I would love to. I would love to. You know, it. But, you know, it all takes logistics and, you know, getting things together. But I would love to.
Okay. Because I've never seen it here. Maybe we can help you put it up here in the UK. Yeah. I haven't seen it in the UK.
I would love to. I would love to.
So what would people need to do that here in the UK with you? That would be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the hardest thing about doing this event is finding a venue. And then sourcing your logistics on lighting and all of that kind of stuff. You know, then you do a casting call for your models. You know, and then finding designers for the show.
Oh, wow. The venue we have. Oh, okay. Yeah, we need to talk about. Yeah, we have the venue. So we need to talk about it to see how. Because I wanted to do a gala. Mm-hmm. A gala evening, you know. Mm-hmm. Because all this kind of thing used to enhance our continent, you see.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, because gala and things like this, but. Yeah, I had in mind to do a gala, but anyway, we'll talk outside the podcast. And also, like, in your private life, everything is fine, the kids are good. Are they going to Liberia sometime? Because, you know, sometimes they say people in America, Africans in America, don't really take holidays because, you know, there's not a lot of holiday in America. So how do you cope? You and your family, how do you cope, like, when you work in America? Do you have, because in England we have, like, we can take 4 weeks holiday, but in America I've always heard that people can only take like 1 week or 2 weeks. Is that true?
Yes, that's absolutely true. That is true.
Wow.
It makes it difficult to really travel. It makes it really, really hard to be able to go anywhere.
Yeah, because that's what people say. Like, when they work in America, it's very hard. Sometimes the family don't see them for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you manage to go? Like, now, you know you're going to be there in December, so you've taken your holiday already?
I saved my holiday for December.
Oh, so the 2 weeks, you didn't take nothing. You just take them in December.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. But then, for... between America and Europe, which part you think America is better for expat or? You might say America because you're in America.
No, I mean, it's relative. You know, I mean, I can't because I've never lived in UK, so I don't know what it is. You know, how easy it is to find a.
I see.
You know, I don't know how easy it is to find a job. I don't know how easy it is for someone to get on their feet and start working to be able to get their own place. You know, all of those things come into play with, yes, you know, right. Your quality of life, you know, and if it's okay or not. You know, America has, you know, some, you know, I mean, not the greatest, but some opportunities that, you know,
no, hopefully you can.
Huh?
It does. America does. Because I went to Maryland for some studies and I've been coming to America very often.
Mm-hmm.
So I know America is like, if you really concentrate, you know, you can really do something there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, the glass ceiling, you can reach it.
Mm-hmm.
In America. But people also say Canada, but it's still not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Canada is good, like housing and everything, but to really push the United States is a different place. So how do you, because you know you had the Black Lives Matter there and everything, how did you perceive all these things? Are you concerned about how, you know, African or, you know, are treated in America? Do you have a fair share there, or how are things?
I mean, we're not kidding. Racism is still live and well. Like, you know, what is America? What is Europe? Racism is still there. Okay. Right. You know, and what I say is that you just have to look at the things that keep you away from, I would say, being a part of the system, per se. Okay. Right. You know, so if you come here, I mean, not that you can't get, you know, racially profiled, because those things happen, right? But if you if you set up something for yourself and you kind of stay, you know, and not necessarily getting in the mess with a lot of crazy things, you can be okay.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, sometimes, and where I think us Africans, where we have we're at an advantage, is that because our parents are so strict on us. Now, yeah. If you come here and stay true to your values, you know that when a cop pull you over, you're not going to be mouthing us and asking a whole bunch of questions. You're polite, you're respectful, you know.
I see.
You know, so sometimes, you know, if they said you want to live to see another day and you can fight it. If, you know, I'm not condoning anything that cops do, but I know that if the cops stop me, it's yes, sir. What do you need? You know, give all of my details. Be as professional as I can for me to get out of the situation.
Yeah, because I don't know if you watched the football game that England just played, the final, you know, the European Cup. Mm-hmm. And three of our most intelligent and talented players, one is Marcus Rashford, you know, he's 23, plays in Manchester United. Mm-hmm. Another one is Sancho, you know, I think it's maybe 19 or 20. And there's the 19-year-old boy, Saka, who is from Nigeria. They missed the penalty, and all this racial thing came out again. So, you know, they had been abused online and the N-word and everything. But they handled it quite well. So, just to let you know that here, everything is not sailing, but at least, you know, there's conversation to be had. And I think that us as African, we need to make sure that we also educate our own kids, you know, mm-hmm. about the system and how to protect them against this racial profiling,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's happening. So I'm so happy, you know, I've spoken to you, and I don't know when you're going to be free again, because then we will just talk the next time, because now it was just like overall for people to know who Junda Morris is, and then the next time we will just purely talk about your work, you know, like what you do, what you've done, because I know what you've done, but I want people to get to know you a bit more, mm-hmm. and what are your aspirations for Liberia and Africa. So that would be in the next episode.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, so I'm so happy to have spoken to you, and I just wish that there were more women like your mom still around. And I know that, you know, in Liberia, you're lucky because you had one of the first women president.
As a matter of fact, my mother was the one that took her into the party that she went into. Yes, and my grandfather taught her in high school and the university.
Helena Sailor Johnson, yeah?
Yes.
You see, so I mean, you are from a prominent family yourself, and I hope that you keep the flame burning and keep the legacy going, you know? Sorry, I'm so proud to have spoken to you. It was an honor, Junda Morris,
Thank you.
the lady that represents Liberia all over the world, and especially in America. You are defending the Liberia flag. It's so good. And we will do another episode with you where you will specifically talk about, you know, the women advancement in Liberia and how it can impact the whole of Africa, all the changes that's happened in Liberia due to women. You see, because Liberia is like an example of, and also now that the new president that you have, which is
George Weah.
Weah, the former footballer. So we will talk from your grandfather, your mom, you know, to the impact that they've had in Liberia today. That will be in light of what you do and how you promote Liberia, what you can do to make Liberia shine even more in your area of expertise, you know. So have a lovely night.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And thank you so much for the interview. Thank you.
Speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye bye.
Oh my God.